Started. All right, thank you all for being here this evening. All right, remember Robert's Rules of Order. I don't think we have any official presentations to vote on tonight unless our curriculum and instruction group is ready to adopt their lessons with regard to all of the things that Shaq oversees for minutes of health and PE instruction, sex education, dating violence prevention, family violence prevention. We've not had any proposals to change anything for the 2024-25 school year, so we'll go ahead and recommend to the board that we continue what we did this school year into 2025-26. And we will go ahead and approve our minutes now. Oh, sorry, for this. I'm sure that school remains solution driven. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. All right, can I have a motion to approve our minutes from February?
This year, I'll make the motion for one Mina Elementary.
Thank you. All right. All voting members, thank you, Ms. Marshall. And if all voting members will indicate their approval by raising their hand. Perfect. All right, our next order of business is to vote in a new secretary for Shaq. I announced at the last meeting that Mr. Stuart Murray has moved out of state for new opportunities. We did receive two applicants. I'll let Ms. Garland Griedel explain who we've got, and the executive committee is going to vote on our new secretary. So that'll be Mrs. Cunningham, Mrs. Coleman, and Mrs. Marshall.
So we have Jennifer Blum and Corey Wellington, who are our secretary applicants, and the executive committee has their blurbs for their brief explanation as to why they're interested in serving as Shaq secretary. So if you could read over that, and then Dr. Morris will let us know how to proceed as far as voting.
All right, the majority decision, our new Shaq secretary is Jennifer Blum. Congratulations. All right, and now we have our district wellness plan for review. This is one of our required action items for Shaq, and it's been a process that we started last year. Mr. Stuart Murray initiated that for us, and then with his departure, a couple of our other counterparts in child nutrition have taken up that task and worked closely with Tanya and Garland. And so we have that ready to present this evening for review and acceptance. Do either of y'all want to bring them?
So the wellness plan, some of the stuff is
so we don't have a lot of decisions that we have to make. Just saying that the wellness plan has to follow along with the wellness policy, and there's a lot of rules and regulations that are already in place. So, and that the shack, along with other individuals, will create the plan. So here it says, food service, physical education teachers, school health professionals, board members, administrators, and members of the public.
Okay.
So on each campus, the principal will be responsible for making sure that we follow it. There'll be an evaluation annually just to make sure that we're following the wellness plan. Here are some of the guidelines that we will follow as far as food services goes. I'm just going to keep going because there comes a point where there's some decisions. Public notification, this is how we'll notify the public of the policy. We'll post the policy, we'll post the plan, we'll notify the board of any revisions that we make to the policy. We'll notify others of SHAC meetings when we're going to be discussing the wellness policy. SHAC will have an annual report that they give to the district, and then they'll provide any other relevant information. Keep going. So we follow the National School Lunch Program, and that goes for breakfast as well. So some of those guidelines, again, are already laid out for us. The district nutrition guidelines are to ensure that all foods and beverages sold or otherwise available to kids will follow those federal rules and regulations to help reduce childhood obesity. The food sold to the school will also follow those guidelines, and the district will comply with any federal requirements for competitive foods. Competitive foods and beverages are not part of the regular food program and occur through sales such as a la carte options or vending machines, and we're going to call those smart snacks. Those are the snacks the students can buy in addition to their meals. So one of the things that we discussed or kind of put in this plan, elementary kiddos can purchase a maximum of 2 snacks, and then we're going to let the secondary campuses have unlimited purchase. And the reason that kind of came about is some campuses were kind of allowing snacks, and some, there was just some restrictions, and we want to keep it uniform.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we don't know if the kids could eat the meal, so we want to make sure they have something to eat.
Is there any discussion on that proposed item?
No, it looks good.
I have a question, or do you want me to wait till the end? Because I don't know, it's a vending machine. Like, my son would come out when I would come pick him up, he would come out, you know, with like a soda, and it was always the, you know, sugar-free ones, but I still found that concerning. So, I mean, is that something the school oversees, or is that like outside, you know, determined?
I can answer that question. So we sell snacks and drinks in the snack room, bistro, and lunch lines. But any vending machines that are in the teacher's lounge or in the hallways are not us.
Okay. So, I mean, I guess the sugary drinks are not allowed,
yeah,
but the
so
sugar-free ones.
That's not us. We're
okay.
Zero sugar, zero calorie.
Okay. Just curious. And being in cancer research,
I don't think we have any for
I'm
kids.
I'm trying to think, like, I'm going through the halls and.
Yeah.
I mean, this is would be the high
school. Kayla would know.
Yeah, in a workroom, I think there's some.
They convince
right staff.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but I don't think we have any machines for the students.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Maybe they used to.
Because it would have been a couple years ago. Honestly,
yeah.
With this would have been a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Now he just goes to Buc-ee's because he drives.
Right. Okay, so for fundraisers, the school or the state rules adopted by. The Texas Department of Agriculture, they allow exemption to the smart snack requirements for up to 6 days per year per campus. And we're gonna allow those to be campus-based, where they get to choose those dates. We're not gonna say it's gotta be Valentine's Day and Christmas Day, and I mean, before Christmas and that kind of thing, just 6 days, because it could change per campus, you know? All right. So foods made available, again, they will follow the guidelines by the state. We can't have food fundraisers during the school day that are not providing food that's within those guidelines. So like you can't provide Snickers at a fundraiser.
I'm just thinking of the chocolate sales.
I know, that's what that was always did the best.
Yes.
Oh man.
So.
Which we were talking about that because my son did that chocolate fundraiser. And I think as long as they are not like selling them at school to each other, as long as they're just like taking the box home, you know, there's
that's
not an issue. But when they're actually eating it at school is when it would be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's where it seems like it mostly occurred, because then
they
come home and there's none of the caramel ones left.
Right.
So it was everybody's favorite.
Yeah. So if we can somewhat monitor that.
Yeah. So it says food will not be provided for free during the school meal served, but I know all of our students get the free meal for school, for lunch and breakfast.
Yeah, I had to read that a few times, but I think it's referring to outside food, because it goes with that paragraph that talks about parents can bring food in.
Yes.
So I think that's
so this,
the food.
Yeah, extra food that's not what our cafeteria serves. Shouldn't be provided to students during those meal times. They shouldn't be competing with our food.
And one of the things we added here was once a student is in the cafeteria line, they can't be pulled out of line. Like when they're in line, they need to be able to get their food and not be pulled out. Say, it's time for you to go to class, you need to go to class. Because they could take their food with them, but they're allowed to eat. We want to make sure that the meal periods were long enough for them to finish their food. Make sure the areas are conducive for social interaction, nutrition, safety, cleanliness, all that kind of stuff. If a student arrives late, you were mentioning this, due to a bus late or unforeseen event, the students should still be allowed to get their food. We'd like to propose that there's a shared table.
Yes.
So, you know, kids go and dump a perfectly good tray.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that stuff is closed up, or it's fruit that's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a shared table, that food could go on the shared table, and like
anybody can eat it. Yeah.
Anybody could grab it. Also, the nurse's office is usually in need of snacks and drinks and things for students that have stomach aches. So,
do we have any campuses that are growing gardens? Because I wonder if we're going to do a shared table, should we also look at a composting bin?
I think if you look into compost, you have you have to buy specific containers as well, but you can go through some organization that gives you paperwork and waste control and whatnot.
Okay, that might be a question for our A&M partner, who's usually here.
Yeah, and this is Elizabeth Adams, who's with our nutrition department, so that's why she's able to help with some of those questions.
I've talked to Mr. Willis about that before, that's why I was able to answer.
Is that like Texas AgriLife?
Yeah, so we have, one of our team members, she works there.
Okay. And then this is just how we're going to measure compliance. Our goals need to be measurable for our evaluations. So that'll be our nutrition department monitoring what types of foods and beverages we're providing and making sure they're within those federal guidelines. We want to establish goals, and we do have some goals here. So all food provided but not sold to students during the school day on a campus will comply with those rules and regulations, and food providers will take extra measures to ensure that the students' access to foods and beverages meet those federal guidelines. Food providers will offer a variety of age-appropriate health food and beverage selections for elementary, middle, and high schools, which I think we do a great job of that. And I was mentioning I think it'd be good to get some posters and advertise our food,
mm-hmm.
Because we have some great food, and decrease that stigma of school food. Yeah.
And a lot of them don't know. I've been doing like test prep for Star,
mm-hmm.
and like one of them is, you know, eat a healthy breakfast. And so I'm like, boys and girls, you know, you can come every morning in the cafe and at lunch, and it's totally free. You don't have money on your account. Everybody eats for free.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just bringing that awareness because, yeah, now breakfast is getting more popular, but that's good. That's what we want.
But
mm-hmm.
also, like, some kids have an embarrassment of going into the lunch line,
mm-hmm.
especially if they grew up taking their lunch to school.
Mm-hmm.
And like, say they go to high school, they no longer do that. So they're embarrassed to go into the lunch line. And
yeah.
it shouldn't be like that.
Right. So maybe we can advertise and promote it. So there we go. The district's food service, teachers, and other district personnel shall consistently promote health nutrition messages in the cafeterias, classrooms, and other appropriate settings. And we just had some action steps here. All schools will provide a minimum of 2 nutrition education handouts. And maybe we could get those from the nutrition department,
yeah.
that we can hand out. And then engage in 2 nutrition promotion activities. And those could probably be in conjunction with fall festival or spring festival or different things like that we're already doing on campus that can be added.
So just thinking out loud, because that's what I do. So since the kiddos can eat free, the teachers that are on duty, like, could they go through the line and eat for free? Like, could they get a tray and then take it back and eat with their kiddos? I know right now we have to pay.
So yes and no, because it gets billed to BISD, and BISD is not paying for that anymore.
Okay.
If they were,
something,
but they stopped
here.
Doing that this semester, so it's teachers pay for their own.
Yes, okay, just thinking
about it. I think that's come up a few times, like you're not the only one that's asked.
Yeah.
It's
well, just
I
like
think
if
a
you
lot
saw
of
like the asked. Cool teacher, you know, with
yeah.
pizza.
Yeah, agree. Okay, so student welfare, the nutrition education will be included by sharing information with families on our website. Parent meetings provided in the cafeteria as a learning laboratory. I think the nutrition department has had a couple like engaging activities with our students.
Mm-hmm.
Chef Michael was talking about some of the activities he's done to include the kids in the process.
There's actually one tomorrow at Colony Oaks.
Really?
Oh.
Kids in the kitchen.
That's very nice.
They get to cut up their own vegetables.
Fun.
Wow.
They have cut gloves, and they have like little plastic knives.
Okay.
Yeah.
Glad they're plastic.
So they kind of rotate, I guess, on the schools?
Mm-hmm.
Do they rotate around the schools to do that kind of stuff?
It depends on the principals and whether or not they want to do it. So he reached out at the beginning of the semester, and I believe he got 3 to respond to him.
Mm.
Yes.
Maybe that'll increase with time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe those principals can share with others how it went,
mm-hmm.
yes.
and they'll be more likely
the
to want to do
it.
So I bet.
Last year they made their own pizza.
That sounds great
fun.
For them to learn.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so nutrition education will be included. Well, we already said that. Schools will provide opportunities for the students to participate in regular physical activity. So there are certain guidelines about how many minutes they're supposed to have either by week or by 2 week periods. Either by day, by week, or 2 week periods. So we have that in here. We also said that the ratio for staff would be 45 students to 1, and if it got outside of that, the district would determine how to make sure that those kids are safe due to the numbers. And here are the numbers for the activity. K through 5th students shall have a minimum of 30 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity, or 135 minutes weekly. So per day, right? 30 per day? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then 6 through 8 students will have a minimum of 30 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity daily, or 135 minutes weekly, or 225 minutes over a 2 week period. And those are kind of set.
Except for on 6 through 8, it's only 2 of those years that it's required.
Just 2 of them?
2
of the 6 through 8?
Yes.
So we just need to make that. I'm just going to highlight that so we go back to it. Does it Does it matter which two or just two?
Just so we have two, so like through PE, dance, athletics, that's pretty much where we can get them.
Okay. Okay, well, we'll make sure we add that. School best activities. So the district will promote wellness for students and their families at suitable district in campus activities, which kind of goes along with what we already said we were going to be doing. School-based marketing for food and beverage products is consistent with our nutrition education and health goals and aligned with our federal and state guidelines. BIC determines this is a no sale of food items that do not meet Smart Snack nutrition guidelines. Food may be given away at any time during the school day that does not meet Smart Snack nutrition guidelines, as long as it does not interfere with our meal times. And then sales that meet the Smart Snack nutrition guidelines are allowed during the school day, as long as it doesn't compete during the meal times. After school activities may encourage and include physical activity and health and wellness information. Concession stands that are held during the day must adhere to the Smart Snack nutrition guidelines until 30 minutes after the last class. And then this is who all can help, which we already discussed that. That's basically who SHAC is made of. And then we'll report to the board at least once annually, including a written report about the information regarding the council's recommendations, modifications, or activities. And that is it.
I have one other quick question.
Sure.
She may be able to answer, just because I don't know if this has changed, but the milk, is it still 0.5% that they have?
Yes,
yeah. Still 0.5%?
Mm-hmm.
And
we
still have the chocolate milk?
Chocolate milk, white milk, and sometimes strawberry milk. But yes, ma'am, I believe it's all 2%. Yes, ma'am.
2%.
Yes,
so they switched. Okay, because it used to be half.
No, ma'am, I believe 2%. It's
2%. 2%. Okay, that's better. Okay. And I guess because I'm not familiar with the Smart Snack nutrition guidelines, I can probably find like what falls under that online, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's like the amount of
sugar and fat. And
like no added sugars, you know, that kind of thing. It's just to make sure the kids aren't overloading on sugar pretty much.
Okay. Is that kind of new? Or
no, we've always done that. But
okay.
I believe they just came up with the name Smart Snack like over the last couple of years.
Okay.
And they call it Smart Snack Compliant.
I'm just curious. I'm interested in nutrition, so yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Neat.
All right. We currently do not have a full voting membership of 30, so we are down to the quorum rules, which are that we must have at least 10 voting members. We do, which means in order to hold a vote, we need at least 6 present, and I believe we have 7 here, so we are good. Can I have a motion to accept the wellness plan as presented?
I'll make a motion to accept the plan.
Okay, second.
Second.
All voting members in favor, if you'll all raise your hand. All right. Any opposed? Okay. Mm-hmm. Pass that on. All right, the next item on our agenda this evening is the continuation of our Toyota Way Forward initiative. We started this project last time with our two teams, curriculum and instruction, and community education opportunities. Mrs. Blum is our project coordinator. Tomorrow, she is going to be presenting at the Chamber of Commerce luncheon on the work that we are in progress and moving forward with. I'd like to ask her to just give us a few minutes of the highlights of that presentation. And then if you would like to see
my little speech?
Yes.
Okay.
If you'd like to see it in full, she'll also be presenting it to the board this month.
Woo! Okay. All right. Again, I apologize. It was field day and it was muggy, but let me pull up my speech. Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay.
Hello everyone, and thank you for this opportunity to have the BISD spotlight today. My name is Jennifer Blum, and I'm the proud school counselor at Mena Elementary. I'm here to discuss the effects of pediatric trauma-related brain injury, or TBI, and to inform you about a new initiative between Bastrop ISD, the Toyota Way Forward Foundation, Accession Catholic Church, and our local Lost Pines Toyota dealership. Pediatric TBI can go unnoticed in the early stages of a child's life, yet its consequences can be far-reaching. Trauma-related brain injury occurs when an external force causes damage on the brain. In children and teens, this might result from falls, accidents, physical abuse, or sports-related injuries. Unlike adults, whose brains have reached maturity, children's brains are in a critical stage of development, making them more vulnerable to damage. Their brains are also incredibly plastic and can adapt and rewire in response to positive and negative experiences. When trauma disrupts this delicate process, it can lead to lasting changes in cognition, behavior, and emotional regulation. Depending on the severity and the location of the brain injury, children and teens may struggle with memory, attention, language acquisition, and problem-solving skills. These are the very abilities that form the foundation for learning and educational success. As educators and caregivers, we must observe that children with TBIs may face difficulties concentrating in the classroom, following instructions, or processing new information. They may fall behind academically, potentially leading to long-term challenges in school performance and educational attainment. It is crucial that these challenges be recognized early and that appropriate interventions be provided to help children with TBIs thrive academically. Beyond cognitive impacts, trauma-related brain injuries can affect a child's behavior and emotional well-being. The brain areas responsible for impulse control, emotional regulation, and social interactions may be impaired, leading to frustration, irritability, or difficulty forming relationships with peers and adults. Mental health professionals, educators, and families must work together to provide the emotional and behavior support that children need. Early therapy and counseling can mitigate these effects and ensure that children and teens develop healthy coping mechanisms as they grow. Socially, children and teens with TBIs may face isolation or stigmatization due to their unique challenges. They may struggle to fit in with peers, and because brain injuries are often invisible, others may misunderstand or lack empathy for their difficulties. The earlier we create supportive environments, the better chance they have to build positive social relationships and gain confidence in themselves. The responsibility falls on us, all of us, educators, healthcare providers, policymakers, and community members to address the needs of children and teens suffering from trauma-related brain injuries. And I have a little slide presentation that's just kind of how we got funded. We've written the curriculum, we're gonna go out in the community and really pushing some of the initiatives that we've done. Like the technology, the helmet technology at the high school. But that's in a PowerPoint, sorry. So in closing, Bastrop ISD is honored to be working with the Toyota Way Forward Foundation to educate our community about pediatric trauma-related brain injury, and we are grateful for the support of the partnership of Lost Pines Toyota and Accession Catholic Church. By increasing awareness and education, we can break the stigma surrounding brain injuries and provide every child the opportunity to succeed regardless of their struggle.
Very nice.
And I practice all weekend, so I'm sorry, this is...
Let's get to have a test run with friends.
Yes.
All right, so with the time that we've got remaining, we're going to split out into our same groups. If you weren't here last time, you can choose a group. Curriculum and Instruction is adopting the K through 12 lessons that Mrs. Blum has put together for us on age-appropriate. You know, how do you prevent head injuries? What do you do if you see somebody fall or hit their head or have something strike their head? And then our community education opportunities is being headed up by Ms. Lowe for our upcoming events this spring to get out in the surrounding areas so that we're not just educating our students, but also our families and our other partners here in Bastrop. And there are two outcomes that I need this evening. I need number one, t-shirt sizes for everybody here. We were approved to go ahead and order those so that at our K community events. We all look like one team. And then I need for y'all to work on getting us the apply list together. So for curriculum and instruction, what are the things that you need for those lessons, for community education opportunities? What things are you gonna need out there? I know we mentioned like magnets last time, banner and pop-up tent, so that we've got everything all in one place, flyers, those kinds of things. So if we can have both of those done when we leave this evening, then I think we'll be in a great place. And then we will stay in communication via phone and email as we work our way through these spring events to get this TBI initiative really rolling. And Mr. Liriano is excited. I spent about 30 minutes on the phone with him yesterday. That's our partner at Las Pines Toyota. They've applied for additional funding so that we can continue this into the next two school years as well. So thank y'all for your time, and we'll come around. If y'all need anything, let us know. And if someone in the group will be in charge of writing down your list for me, then that will be great, and I'll take that back to our business department. Mm-hmm. We'll get all that stuff ordered.